Well, we're going back this morning, sort of heading in the direction there that dealing with the spirit of seeing and knowing, but I think the Holy Ghost is going to do some things a little different. But we just want to follow which way he's going, what he's doing. But we're talking about the spirit of seeing and knowing. When the Lord spoke to me about talking about this, is one of the things that Kenneth Hagin had prophesied, and I had heard others talk about the spirit of seeing and knowing, and dealing with this area is really important because the emphasis was made about these latter times, that that's was the emphasis that these manifestations, and which really deals with the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And the emphasis concerning those gifts is, number one, is especially in the areas of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, is are hugely, enormously important to the church. To minister to other people, but also God revealing things to us. Many times through the word of wisdom and word of knowledge, God revealed things to me, even my own protection about things. Your own protection. You know, it was a story I told is one time I was driving. My wife and I, we were in a motorhome with kids. We were heading down, heading south. We were going to go to Disney World, but we're going to stop at Wanda's cousins in Georgia and see them. And then we were going down, taking the kids down to Disney World. And so we were heading down there. And this was right before, in fact, the following years when I went to Rhema. The Lord had spoke to me and told me, Wanda had said the kids, they wanted to go to Disney World on vacation. It was over Christmas time and New Year's, and I had off work. I had 2 weeks off work because I had a lot of seniority, and so I could, in my department, so I could sort of pick when I wanted to go, and so I would always take off those times of year. I really wasn't interested in going down, but the Lord spoke to me. He said to me to take them down. So I said, yeah, I'll do it, Lord. He said, you said to take them down, so you bring the money, and he did. But I'll never forget, we were driving the morning we left. We left very early in the morning driving the motorhome, and we're driving. It's in December, normally being cold, but it wasn't really cold that morning. It was in the 40s. But we left and went out, got on 81, and was driving down through an 81, heading south, and got down by Carlisle there. And there was a light rain going, but the roads were very good, and it just kept coming up inside of me, slow down, slow down. Kept coming up on the inside of me, slow down, slow down. So I slowed down, and I, you know, the speed limit at that time was 65 through that area. Now they have it, that area is 55 now. It's posted through there because of all the traffic. But I slowed down to about 55. Well, everybody's blowing by me, and they're probably thinking, what's this crazy guy in this motorhome doing? And it just kept coming to me again, slow down, slow down. And I thought, dear Lord, I slowed down anymore. What is this? But it kept going on. And I slowed down, and I slowed down to 45 miles an hour. And that's the only place I got any peace, is to do that. And it kept coming to me. Now, see, this is sometimes, you know, God didn't tell me what was going to go on. See, just this word of knowledge just came to me. A word of knowledge came about present facts, something that's happening, going on. This came to me. Now, I had the choice of saying, well, everything seems all right and looks okay. I don't need to do this. Must just be it. Well, I slowed down, and weird thing came up around in this area. And when you get down below Carlisle there, there's a slight turn where a bridge sets. You come up over, and there's a bridge sets on a slight turn on a rise. You drop off the other side, you go straight. And when we come up around there, the bridge was cluttered with cars. That bridge had iced. And there was cars all over the place, sitting all over the road. Some of them had hit each other, and some of them, you know, nothing big from a standpoint of accident, but there's cars everywhere. And I'm coming up on that thing, and I know, you don't hit the brakes. You hit the brakes, and you just become part of the accident for sure. And we come up on there, and all I did was, when I hit the bridge, I had left off the gas, and so we were slowing down. But I remember at the other side of the bridge sat a white Monte Carlo sitting sideways. The passenger side was facing me, and there was a woman sitting there. And all she could see was a big motorhome coming at her. And if I wouldn't have been slowed down, I'd have killed her. Thank God I listened. Well, it ruined our vacation, but it probably killed her. And I turned the steering wheel and went right out around him. Never slid, never did nothing. Did a little bit of shouting on the other side. But you know, it's learning to listen to these things. You know, many times we bypass things in life. Along the road, I've had many people tell me there were certain things that happened. They said, I had a sense something was going. See, they had a sense of it, but they bypassed it. They don't stop. Many times people bypass things. They just let it go. Most Christians have run into these encounters often in their life, but they've learned over time to bypass them and not pay attention to them and not stop and listen. Kenneth Hagin used to tell a story about a man. He was teaching on how to be led by the Spirit. And there was a minister who, after he was done teaching some on one session, came to him and said, you know, you teach this. He said, if I'd have known this, if somebody had been telling me about this, he said, I could have avoided two major problems in his life. He had been in two major accidents. And one of them, the second accident he had, his wife was with him involved. She was really injured very severely in the accident. He said, when we were traveling, he said, I came out of the motel. He said, I had a sense in me to stay in the parking lot and not leave for 15 minutes. But he said, I just override that and got in the car and drove off. And he said, we got an accident. He said, if I would have waited 15 minutes, he said, we'd have never been in an accident. He said, but we were never taught to listen to our inner man. We were, you know, to listen on the inside. See, you have to learn to develop on the inside. You have to learn to do that. You have to learn to listen. It'll keep you out of a lot of troubles and problems over the years. There's many things that have come along, and I just had senses about things. You know, sometimes I don't know exactly why. I've had God protect me concerning people. First time that I missed it, where really God did in sort of a really profound way. We were just young Christians, Wanda and I, and we had went down to Lidditz there, the worship center. They met down there in the community center in the park down there in Lidditz. They had just started. The church hadn't been going real long. And so we went down there to a service one Sunday morning. And we walked in there one Sunday morning. And we were standing there and we were worshiping God. Worship was going on. And a man and woman walked in through, came down the aisle, turned in and come down the row in front of us. And we're standing there. And inside of me, this came up and said, it ain't doing them any good to even be here. And I thought, why would I think about, now I was just a young Christian. See, I was just learning at this stuff. But God had done it in a very dramatic way because, I mean, this really rose up in me. And, I overrode that. What God was trying to get me to stay away from them, and I didn't. Turned around, they were Rhema graduates, but they turned around to be problems. But see, I overrode that, and I learned that lesson after that. And over time, many times, God's had me, and you need to learn to do this. If you don't learn to listen, you're going to make mistakes and go into problems, not paying attention who you're supposed to be around and who you're not supposed to be around. And it'll cost you in life. It'll cost you. I know major ministers who get around people they should never even be around, but they, you know, everything looks good, everything looks nice. I was involved in a minister's group, and the guy who was the head of the group and that stuff, they had a minister. I'll never forget the first meeting I ever attend with them is they had a ministerial group and that stuff, and he was a Rhema graduate. So I got involved with it because, you know, I wanted fellowship among some people of faith and, you know, where I was coming from. And I'll never forget this. They were bragging on this guy, you know, and really hyping him up, this guy, this missionary to Mexico. And they're making a big deal. We had a break in between some of the meetings we had, and this guy from Mexico, he come right up to me. He walked up and said what his name was, and which I knew, and he shook my hand and he said, "You need to come down to Mexico." And the Lord said to me, "You stay away from him." Rose right up inside me, "Stay away from him." And I thought, man, they're hyping him up. This guy's one of their, oh man, he just has a great ministry. Well, it turned around he didn't, and he wasn't a great guy. But those leaders who had been around in the ministry a lot longer than I have, they didn't pay no attention to things. I will guarantee you God spoke to them. I will guarantee you as sure as the sun is rising in the morning. I ain't some special guy he talks to about stuff like this. You need to learn this. There's times to be hesitant about things. And so what I did was, I didn't say nothing to anybody about it. I knew over the years of not saying anything, because if you do, you get in trouble. Because everybody that ain't paying attention will make fun of you and knock you and say, you don't know what you're talking about. So I just waited. I thought, this will show up. Why? Because I never asked the Lord why, what he was doing. I didn't know. But I didn't ask. The Lord told me, he just said, you stay away from him. So of course I didn't try to go down to Mexico with him. But anyhow, it turned out this guy, you know, he's cheating on his wife. His so-called ministry and his ministry and what it was all supposed to be. A lot of it wasn't what it was supposed to be. And all this, and they're giving this guy money and going, you know, they're out there doing this thing and this is a big mess. Well, you know, that wasn't the first one, you know. They had another guy. They had another guy was in India. Had a very large Bible school in India. It was like he'd do 400 to 600 students, you know, that he would have. This was a good sized Bible school that he'd have. And he had talked about me coming over there to teach because I taught in Bible schools and stuff and things. And he asked me to come over and teach. And I could just never get clear. See, you learn to listen on the inside. I could never get clear. All these ones were going, the head of the thing of the ministry. They were always bragging this guy, oh, his ministry. It finds out that this guy, what happened was, is for like probably about a good 15, 20 years, this guy's probably messed around with at least 100 women. He's been messing around with all kind of women, all kind of stuff going on, all kind of things. But see, the Lord's protecting me to stay away from that. Why? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You get close to that stuff. You know, I'm a man and I got enough trouble without getting involved around people messed up in that stuff. And everybody does. Women too. And see, you need to be very careful. See, this is about learning to listen. God's protection. That's why the manifestation of these things are so important to the church for your own personal protection and safety. There's people that I've had over the years that have come to our church and walked in the first time they were here. And I had a sense, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something ain't right. I pick it up. I've learned to listen on the inside. I can say, well, I didn't necessarily hear the voice of the Lord, but inside of me, there's a nudging in there. Something's not right. You need to learn to listen to those things. We mostly go by what things look good, then we jump into it and we get into it because it looks good. It looks all right. Other people. The average Christian is influenced much more by other people than they are by God. Because if everybody else is going along with it, it's God. It's good. Because why? My favorite minister's involved in it. It must be good. It must be good. See, the Lord talked to me this morning. I was walking back and forth there, worshiping, praying, and he got over and I thought, what do you want me to talk about? I thought, well, Lord, it's not exactly, about the spirit of seeing and knowing, but yet it's on the other side of, we got to know what's God and what's not. We need to learn. You need to understand this. Because people have a big name in ministry doesn't mean they know what's going on. Many men walk by their ministry anointing, but when it comes over to their own personal walk with God, they're very insensitive to things of the Spirit. See, you need to understand that. That's why you can hear things and know things. I learn over time. I would hear things and know things. Because one of the things, it always has stuck with me. When the Lord spoke to me back in February 1950 and said, if you don't learn how to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. When he said that to me, that his state, the number one importance in my life is to be led by the Spirit. You cannot be led by God unless you're led by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is what leads you in the earth. That's God leading you in the earth. And if you are not aware of him inside and what he's doing inside of you, you can't be led by God. The Holy Ghost is a teacher of the Word. Therefore, you need to become a student of the Word. You must become a student of the Word. You have to. Because if you want the Holy Ghost to move in you, you must become a student of the Word because He takes the Word and He reveals it to you. Like Mike was reading today. The Holy Ghost, the mysteries of God, what God has hidden, it's hidden in, God has put it in the Holy Ghost, who is the teacher here, the one who knows everything about God. He's the one who is the one that wants to guide us and lead us, and he's the one who takes the things of the Word and reveals it to us. There is nothing more important in Scripture. If you're not a student of the Word, and you're not a listener in your spirit, I just want to say this to you, you are very immature as a Christian. It is impossible to be a mature Christian and not be a student of the Word and listener of the Holy Ghost. You can't be. It's impossible. You can't grow up spiritually without the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. It can't happen. It'll never happen. It'll never take place. So it's so important that we hook up. See, you can get over and rely on things and people. This is one time thing is about big organizations. I have nothing against anything getting big, but we need to be careful. We have a tendency to get drug in because something is big, and we think that they're right because it's big. And when you get hooked over, you have to watch, because people get off course. It's like Brother Hagin said, you never follow the man. You said you can follow the anointing that's on a man. You can follow his faith. But you follow the man, you'll make all the mistakes he does. You'll make all his mistakes. This is why you'll find lots of times a minister may have been very popular, dies early. Many people follow him very close and they die early. They follow the same things. They get into the same traps. So you need to be very careful about these things. You know, I appreciate Brother Hagin, I appreciate his gift, but the Word of God and the Holy Ghost are my guide. And if what he said or did is outside of it, and you know, he wasn't a perfect man. You know, I remember Brother Hagin teaching certain things concerning the areas of prayer. And I remember him standing up in one of the meetings. We had a winter Bible seminar, and he stood up, you know, and he said, the Lord just instructed me, and he said, I'm going to have to change one of the books I published, because he said, I've been teaching something wrong. He said, the Holy Ghost showed me. And so, you know, and talked to him about things about prayer, and he had, the book was The Art of Intercession, and he changed it to The Art of Prayer, because there's things that he changed inside that God revealed to him concerning prayer. And so, in other words, he was just like you and I. You know, we go along and walk in the light that we got, but I don't know, if you're still walking in only the same light that you did 20 years ago, you're in trouble. I hope you learned something since then. But nothing more, I don't care what you learned, if you're not practicing it, it didn't do you a bit of good to learn it. Your success in life is not based on what you know, it's based on what you do with what you know. It's not, it don't matter how much you know, how much you smart you, how your confession is. If you don't have action and all you got's confession, you ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah. Isn't that good preaching? I'll tell you. I know, you know why I know it works? Because I've stumbled through this stuff. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He said, if you'll listen to what I teach, he said, you won't have to go through a lot of things I do. And I want you to understand, if you'll listen to what I teach, you won't have to go some things I went through. That I was dumb and learned the hard way. You know, you don't want to learn the hard way. If somebody can give you the way around something, take it! Take it! Hallelujah! Don't do what they did. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But there's some things I just want to read to you, because talking here is one thing, is knowing spiritual things in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we talked a little bit last week about this, but it's 12th chapter. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. We talked about that. The word gifts in there, that word gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:1, that was added by the translators. That is not actually in it. In fact, in the scripture, you'll see that it's italicized. It's not in there. He's talking about things concerning spiritual things. Another thing, things of the Spirit. Concerning things of the Spirit. And also we could say things of the Holy Ghost. Things and how things operate in the realm of the Spirit. We need to know about these things. How the Spirit realm operates. Most people, now Jesus, when he taught natural things to illustrate certain things about the spirit realm. But understand, the things in the naturals aren't a pure type of how it operates in the spirit. They're a type and shadow of it. But you have to learn how to operate over in the spirit realm. And you can learn some things, and you have to get over there. It's one thing, as I found out, if you want to learn to get over into the spirit realm, you're going to have to do something spiritual. You're going to have to do something spiritual. The spirit realm. See, many people want manifestations. They want different things, but really are not very spiritual or ever do much of anything to get in over in the areas of spirits. One of the things that the benefit that I had when I started off as a young Christian is the Lord directed me some things when I started off. In a sense, I was fortunate because, see, I had gave up on organized religion before I ever got saved. I figured they were insane because their God was a nut. He was killing them and doing every crazy thing in the world. You couldn't trust him for 2 seconds. If you live good, the good die young, you know, all that stupid stuff. Ignoramuses. And I said, well, I want to live a long time. I ain't following God. That's the last thing you want to do. You're good. He'd kill you. You know? And so they tell you all this, but they had all this stuff. And I just thought it was crazy. My parents would talk about, you know, God and loving God. And I'd think, and then somebody had died. They'd say, God killed him for a reason. And they used to think, dear Lord, we lock people up for killing people. We say they're bad. Our God does it. They say he's good. See, I'm confused by most Christians' God. I have no clue who he is. I mean, I would be a Buddhist before I'd be the average Christian. At least they're trying to get something good in life. Those Christians, they, you know, you're ducking your God all the time, trying to keep him from killing you. You know, just trying to do something to you. Treating you bad for a religion, you know, that stuff. You know, like Mike said, they take one scripture out of the Bible. Oh, no, not there. This one says something derogatory. We love that. My God, 20 scriptures say something good. No, we won't talk about those at all. Let's take that one. You know? Hallelujah. That's good preaching anyhow. But anyhow, we get over on the things of the Spirit. Must get over it. See, I rejected that. And then the Lord started directing me completely. And one of the things he talked to me about, when I was just a young Christian, he said to stay close to Kenneth Hagin's teachings. So he showed me different ones that I should get a hold of. And one of them was, I had the series that he taught on how to be led by the Spirit. There were some others. But there's one thing as I learned from him is about praying. How to hook up with God. You're going to have to do something. There's something about praying gets you over in the spirit realm. You know, you're not going to get in the spirit realm, you know, washing dishes or, you know, doing this or doing that. Getting over in the spirit. Now, that don't mean you can't have a spiritual experience while you're washing dishes or doing something, but you're going to have to learn to get sensitive on the inside. See, I didn't learn at first. I did not learn, to me, any noise, clamor, or anything going on. All I could come in contact with was the noise and stuff that was going on. Today, I can shut things off and listen to men or man. I couldn't then. And most Christians can't. You're going to have to get over. And even today, I mean, I take time where I spend time just praying in the Holy Ghost, listening. I pray in the tongues, listening to on the inside to see what God wants to be saying to me. What's going on inside of me? Why? That's where the Holy Ghost lives. The Holy Ghost ain't sitting on a chair up here. The Holy Ghost is inside. And you have to listen. Anybody, there's no one who has ever been led by the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost led them to get sick and die. That has never happened on the face of this earth. If you listen to the Holy Ghost, he will lead you into divine healing. That's what he will do. God don't have death for anybody. People choose it by their beliefs. They choose it. Number one, some people say, well, it's a baptism of the Holy Ghost for today. If you listen to the Holy Ghost, he'll direct you right into it. There's nobody has ever listened to the Holy Ghost that he would not lead them into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You listen to the Holy Spirit. This is why you need to get sensitive. You need answers. Mike talked about, you know, answers. You need answers. There's things you need to hear. You need to know. The answers, God knows it all. God knows the past. He knows the past from the word of knowledge is about, word of knowledge is about the past. It deals with the past and the present going on. Then God knows the future is the word of wisdom. He knows them. The Holy Ghost is in you. He's the operator of those gifts. Now you don't have those gifts and you turn them on and off. He does. It says it operates as he wills. I will tell you something though, and you need to understand this. You will have a whole lot more. He will will to do a whole lot more of it if you get over in the areas of the spirit. He'll will to do a whole lot more of it. And that's where you want to go to. You want to get over into the areas. Now, I'll do that, Lord. I won't go any further than that. he wants me to do talk about some things today, and I didn't necessarily, I thought, oh, we ought to do something else. But he wants to go over in this area, and so I'm going to listen to him. Now, I want to talk to you about this, and I'm just going to read you the scripture from John in the 14th chapter, familiar scripture to us here. And in verse 12 says this. Jesus made this statement. Jesus said this. He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. Now, we have to clarify. Who's he talking to? Now, the majority of the church says he's talking to the apostles. This was for them. Well, what they do is they're illiterate and stupid and can't read. He said, he who believes in me. How many in here you believe in him? You believe in him? Hallelujah. We're qualifiers, aren't we? Aren't you glad you're a qualifier? Here, you got a scripture in the Bible, might as well have your name on it. You're a believer. You can take that and put your name right on there and it wouldn't be lying a bit. You're a believer. Hallelujah. Now, what did he say about this believer? The works that I do, you might do one time. Or somebody might. Or maybe never. No, he says, the works that I do, you will do also. Greater works than these, well, he do, because I go to the Father. Now, I've taught on this before. If you want to know what the works of Jesus are, Jesus told John the Baptist's disciples. They came and asked him, and he said, don't you see my works? The sick are healed, the dead are raised, the blind see, the gospel's preached to the poor, his works. What did the church do today? His works. Feed the poor, 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 give money away, help people stay in sin. Don't ever do nothing to get them into the kingdom. Start a nice welfare system for them. Hallelujah. Are we doing wonderful for God? Oh, we're just doing wonderful. My. But anyhow, now I have nothing against feeding the poor, but I'll tell you what, we've done fed so many poor that they desire to stay in the poor category. They love it. Why go to work? You know, why go there? But anyhow, but he said, the works I do, you'll do also. And he said, greater works. Now, I want to specifically talk about this. The Lord spoke to me this morning about this. You know, people make emphasis, and I remember, you know, as a younger Christian, and I would hear these Christians say, you know, Jesus said, we're going to do greater works. And they always is the greater. Oh, we're going to do more. We're going to do greater. And they got in the greater. But I came to this conclusion. I would first sure like to see the works of Jesus, which the church don't have. I'm not right now interested in greater. I would just like to get the ones that he did. Wouldn't you? We want them in operation. Now we can look through and Jesus, one of the things is why you need to know this. If you want to minister to people, you need gifts of the Spirit lots of times in operation to know things to minister to people. Many times the word of knowledge operates through me when I know administering to people, and I'll know things or I'll know how to minister to the individual. See, most people will always minister by their mind. That's what they'll do. What they think. You know, they have to ask the person, what's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with that. But most people, I don't want to hear them because all they do is they confess what's wrong with them and they just believe in it more. A lot of people just can't wait to come and tell you their problem. As if, you know, now you're going to wave a wand and take my problem away. No, they've confessed it till they believe they got it so much. You ain't getting it off of them. It's good preaching, folks. Now, there's nothing a matter of saying, but you know, you come, how many times you say, you know what? Pastor, when you lay hands on me, I'm going to get healed. I'll tell you, I'd probably fall over unconscious. You'd have to get some smelling sauce to wake me up if somebody ever came and said that. Well, if you can't say amen, say, oh, me. People love to tell their problems. That's why a lot of times I don't want to hear their problem. It's from this reason. Lots of times I want to know as little about you as possible to minister to you, because once you tell me things, understand this, the devil will use it against you. And when I speak what the Holy Ghost says, you're going to say, and the devil's going to say, he knew that because you said that. It's good preaching, folks. It's a good thing don't to say anything unless you ask when you're going to be ministered to for your own spiritual sake. See, I'm telling you a good thing here. This is a good thing. See, we mostly only pray for people. We want to, you know, send in prayer requests so we know what all the problems are and everything that's going on. Why? Because we don't believe in hooking up over in the Spirit. I have to be told everything by somebody before I know. I want to, you know. It's like stupid ministers were saying this years ago, back in the late 80s and into the early 90s. They said, if you have a problem, you need to go to a doctor and find out what it is so we can have a good idea exactly how we need to pray about this. Just to say to do that. Now you gave it a name and now you're confessing its name on you. Now, I'm nothing going against the doctor, but most people, once they go to the doctor, they're in trouble because they can't get what the doctor said out of their mind. And they're full of what the doctor said, and they're not full of what God said. And they got the name of their disease, and they know it, and they've done went online today. Now you can go online, find out every symptom of it, everything about it, how many people die a year from it. You can look everything up to get yourself so far in unbelief that we'll just start planning for the funeral today. Hallelujah! Might as well laugh. My God, we see, you have to watch yourself. You know, see, I don't believe in this bit about it's easy to go to the doctor. I don't believe that. I believe you ought to know something spiritually when you go to the doctor because you may have a battle start on your hand, and if you don't, it might be the thing that's going to tip you over the edge where you ain't going to go nowhere. So you need to be careful, because if you can't get over his diagnosis and what he says, if you can't get past that to believe God beyond that, you're only going to have what he's given to you. That's what you're going to have. You got to get past that. See, I was one of the reasons when Wanda, you know, why I didn't see, I never told you guys about Wanda and her operation. I told you on a Sunday she was having her operation on a Monday. I deliberately didn't talk to anybody about it. I didn't want anybody interfering with where her and I are standing. I knew where we were going to stand, and we talked about it. And we talked about the fake. I wasn't going to say anything to the congregation till that day. Why? Well, we know what the doctor said, but we had a plan. And our plan was different than what they told us. The outcome was going to be different for us than they said. Now, we appreciate, had a great surgeon, good people. They really did nice. They really did their part well. But, you know, they had a hard time with it. They had a hard time that Wanda didn't have any pain when she's going to go home. They had a hard time with that. They wanted to give her a pain shot so bad. So finally, I just said to her, honey, take the pain shot. It makes them feel better. And I said, I don't want them in distress, those poor people. They're just so concerned. And they were nice, but they didn't know what we knew. See, you have to know where you're walking and where you're going and what you're doing. You have to understand that. Most people, you know, they get a problem and the first thing they do is, let's sound off on the problem. People don't stop and say, you know, where am I in this? Where can I stand? Where am I at? They tell everybody, there's people that you don't want them to know what's going on because they're going to start, and the worst thing will happen, they'll start praying their prayers. Their prayers of unbelief, their prayers. Now, you remember that Sunday I stood up in front of you here and I told you exactly what we were believing, and I said, I'm not asking anybody to pray about this. I said, all I do is want you to agree with the direction we're going. And I said, if somebody can't do that, that's fine. You just stay in neutral. Don't bother with it. Let it alone. But if you can believe, you can believe. And see, we were believing the supernatural and that stuff. And I'll never forget, you know, that after that first Sunday, Wanda walked in here and people said, oh my God, you look great. They were surprised. So I knew. That there was people didn't, they were surprised. I'd have been surprised if she wasn't doing great. That would have surprised me. That would have surprised her. See, people say, we're agreeing. That's why I don't want people getting out there. As many people say, I can agree. They can't. I know they can't. I know people have a tough time with it. It's easy to agree when you're never going to see the problem or know where it's at or ever be see the person. So that's a lot of people say, I don't understand. I can pray for somebody and, you know, stuff happens. And yeah, but what happens if it's right around you and you can see it? Well, that's a whole different level of faith. That's a completely different level of faith. That's a completely different place. You know, it's one thing to believe somebody else got pain. It's another thing when you got it. It's easy to smile and pray for the guy when you don't hurt, and they do. Say, I'm believing God with you. And then they get pain, and my God, they're in the flesh the whole time. This is why the Word and the Spirit. You've got to get over, get into the Word. You've got to become a changed person. You've got to become a person that thinks different, walks different, talks different. You've got to become that. That's the place of the Spirit. In that place of the Spirit, supernatural takes place. That's where the place of the realm of the supernatural is. Most people are doing this. They're looking for the miraculous and totally miss the supernatural constantly. God's supernaturally moving, giving them revelations. They don't see it. What they need is something big, boom, to blow up and see with their eye so they can have faith. That ain't how faith comes. That isn't how faith comes. And I want to talk to you this about, because we're going to go over in the areas. One of the things the Lord wanted me to share about this, a little different here. Because Kenneth Hagin talked about this. In September 1950, he had a vision. And in that vision, the Lord talked to him about the end times. But one of the things he said that his people were going to, he talked about the move of the Spirit. He said, many of my people will turn away from the move of the Spirit. And he also said that there's many are going to follow false miracles. They're going to follow false things of the Spirit. And the Lord wants me to talk about that because, number one, you need to learn to listen on the inside of you. You need to learn to listen on the inside of you because there's a lot of false. And people get hooked up in the areas of false. Things that aren't right. Now, there's some things, you know, that people do. You know, is you will find this. And I'm going to tell you, big name ministers. I could sit here and name you numbers of big name ministers who followed off in false things. False miracles. They believed in them. And they weren't God. They were demonic. But they believed them. At the time, they believed them. They thought it was God. And this is why it's one thing is I've learned over time, and there's certain things were taught by Kenneth Hagin, and I found the wisdom in it, is don't be so fast to jump into things and get over on things. Find out first. I don't care if it looks good. I don't care if somebody says. You know, we'd sit around. You know, there's false things that go on, like, you know, people talk about like statues, and they cry, or they're no blood and tears, and, you know, people, sometimes manifestations through people have had, like, blood in their hands. They go through those things. We need to understand what they are. They are false miracles. They don't do anything. They are demonic manifestations. Your blood don't amount to nothing. Let's get it straight. There's only one blood that counts, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ. And your bleeding or doing anything, it don't matter. And what it means, if your hands start bleeding, there's a good chance you have a demonic problem. You know, I just saw the things that they had a Catholic church they're going to tear down. It was on a news thing online, and they're going to tear it down. And now they don't know what to do because they have a picture painted, and Mary's crying now. You know, There's water running down, you know, this thing, and now this Mary starting to cry. So this is a sign. Well, a sign for what? What's it a sign for? Well, so when we're going to, in other words, God don't want the church torn down. He don't want it taken down. Is that what it is? But what does that do? Church buildings don't save people and whatever else. I don't care who they belong to. It's about what goes on in that place, you know. And I just say, tear that sucker down right now and don't give that demon another place to live. Let's do something here. There's a lot of other churches, not Catholics, I'd love to see torn down too. I'll tell you the stuff. But see, we need to understand false miracles, false things happen. Now, not with that. See, we are moved toward the spectacular. You know, when I was here some years back, I went down to Florida, and the revival was going on down there. At first, they started off there following God, but then they started bringing some other people in. And they did a terrible thing. They started bringing these people in with this gold stuff showing up. They started all that. They started in those things, people with gold. Well, what happened with that thing of gold thing? Really, there was a woman who was a minister. You know, and I found out that this lady was, she had really had a good ministry. She was down in Brazil. She, you know, had been going down there some, and I guess had a ministry here in the United States, and she would go down there. And, you know, she's a good Christian lady, but she went down there and got caught over in to this woman who was supposed to be, quote, Christian. And, this gold would show up, this gold dust. This woman, she would shake her hair and stuff, and this, they said it was gold dust. But, so I got over reading about this years ago. I got reading about this thing happening, and I found out there was a minister down in Brazil who saw this stuff going on, and he knew things weren't right. See, most people, they like just, you know, we see something spectacular. That's, oh, that's good. Well, what does it do? What's the purpose of the gold dust? What does it do for people? Nothing. See, we look at Jesus' ministry. Did he go around making gold dust and doing all kind of things? He was healing the sick. He was doing all kind of, the miracles he did with the blessing of humanity and to point people toward God. Whenever you see manifestations of the Spirit that exalt people, be very careful. Very careful. What's their purpose? The purpose is the, for gifts of the manifestations is to help people. You know, it's like last Sunday, you know. Now, I had a manifestation of the Spirit the day before in a vision. I saw myself minister to Eileen and to Betsy. Now, I saw that. In other words, really, it was a word of wisdom pointed toward the future. Something I was, and I saw myself ministering to them, and I saw certain things I said. So I knew that came to me to do that. Now that don't happen all the time, but I've had that happen a number of times over the years where I would be praying and I would see something. It's funny how many times that stuff happens when you're praying or you're over seeking God things. I usually don't have that at lunch very much. I don't. I usually don't. It's when I get over in areas of the Spirit, I start seeing over into the Spirit realm. You start getting in contact with things. But you know, I did that. But so, Those things that we did, in other words, I saw something in the future that I was going to minister, but then I had a word of knowledge about past, with Eileen, it was a past facts, and dealing with Betsy was presently concerning her and her situation and praying for her. So in other words, God used, really, a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge came through that vision that I had. Now, let me say this about the vision. The vision wasn't I was standing there and all of a sudden clouds appeared and I'm looking to see. It's inside of me. See, I remember here praying and inside of me I saw this. See, your inner man has eyes. He can see. We only ever see what's going through our physical eyes. Many things I have seen in my spirit, I know. I've seen it and I know it. See, right now up in heaven, you know, they ain't walking around with white canes. They can see. Their spirit man can see. And they have eyes that can see. And they walk around seeing. Why? Your inner man can see. And he can see things that your outer man can't see. And when you only rely on the outer, you're in trouble. See, you can be fooled by the outer. The Holy Ghost will never fool you. Hallelujah, you can count on Him. This is what I love about the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. So see, we want to know. But you know, getting over there to these manifestations, one of the things He said, people would be misled by these demonic manifestations. Now that woman with the gold dust thing and that stuff, it turned out what had happened. I remember Randall Greer got in a whole bunch of trouble over this because he didn't even know about this stuff was going on, and the Lord spoke to him about it and told him to tell him people that this was demonic. Well, he was down. This was they were having an RMI regional conference down there. And Randall was called to be one of the speakers there. And so he was going to speak the, like say they had like the first night they met, he couldn't be there. He was out. So he had to fly in and he got there and he got up that night and the Lord told him, I want you to talk about this gold dust phenomenon and deal with this thing. And he got up and talked about what the Lord said about this thing being demonic. But on top of it, he did this. The Lord spoke to him and told him that the woman who had brought it in the United States she was going to die, and another man who was involved in it was going to die too. Well, When he got done preaching that night, everybody practically ran out of the room. And the reason they did is because they were mad at him. The night before, they were all talking about how you got to get the full gold dust phenomena in your church. Now, this is all Rhema ministers. There's leaders here in this stuff. How you got to get it in your church. Well, when he told them that, the next day the woman died, who was the head of it, who had brought it to the United States. And about 9 months later, the guy died. So it was pretty, he was pretty accurate. But meantime, he lost all kind of meetings and that stuff. People wouldn't have him in. Because they love their stuff. They love the spectacular. They love things. It's like, this is what the seeker-friendly church is. Find things that people like and give it to them and they'll come running to you. And when they come to you, then we'll tell them the truth. They never tell them the truth. Because if you tell them the truth, they're going to leave. You got to bring in more junk. You got to bring in more stuff. Right now, down south, they got this thing going on. I don't know if they're going to ship it up here. They got a Bible that has oil seeping out of it. There's a Bible. Literally goes on. I mean, I saw pictures of the thing and all that kind of stuff. They got a Bible. This is coming out of a Spirit-filled church. But, you know, you can be, hey, that's not saying they're not Christians, but they've yielded over to things that ain't right. Something is wrong. And this Bible, now, here's what it is, because doctrines get wrong. So, see, this Bible, they put it in a container, and this container just fills with oil by itself. I mean, they've had cameras on this thing, and the whole thing, and this thing just makes oil. So now, this is a special oil to anoint people with. See, the Holy Ghost, you know, now this is a special oil to get healed. I thought faith in the Word was good enough. I didn't know we needed a special oil. Now, see, it always starts. They start bringing things in. It sound very nice. Hey, this is getting popular. They're taking it to churches. They take their little Bible with a bucket of oil and go to churches and show everybody. And people just love this kind of thing. Why? Because it's supernatural. It's spectacular. But what is it? There is no special oil. If there was special oil, Jesus would have told us. There is no special oil. God still heals by faith and not by oil. You know, they said, we're really fortunate this time because now we have this special oil. What, did God shortchange everybody else a few years ago? Is that what he was doing? Well, then when I get to heaven, he's doing that. Him and I are going to have a talk about what a scoundrel he is. And he was saying he's good and he didn't do very good. He had something better and he held out and he lied to us in the Word. See, there's a guy got over in that years ago. Kenneth Copeland used to have him in his ministry. Sometimes years ago, this guy would come in and he'd have him minister the areas of music. And anyhow, he got over to this thing some years later about this, some kind of fruit over in Asia somewhere. And they started this bottling this stuff up and started saying that this stuff, all my words, God gave it to us in this day and time. And you know, you take this stuff, you'll never get sick and you blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And he got over into it. And then I was surprised. One day in the mail, I get a tape. And it's him talking. And he made statements on there that I can prove that are out downright lies. But see, you get over and get deceived into something. And I'm going to tell you what. You get over and get deceived into something. After a while, you'll find yourself lying and stuff to uphold yourself in this thing because you don't want to be proved wrong. Or number two, people that get involved in it never repent. They never admit to people what they were publicizing to them was wrong. See, if you miss it, you missed it. That's just it. You miss it. You know, just like I heard Willie George say it. He said it publicly, so I can go ahead and say it. I haven't recording. He said, if you make a mistake, don't ever tell your people because they won't trust you. Dear Lord, if a guy's perfect, he's Jesus, and we need to be worshiping him. Dear Lord, if you're never going to listen to me because I make a mistake, I'll tell you what, your head's so hollow, you ain't got enough up there to cause a wind to blow through. It's like, give me a break. We all miss it, don't we, sometimes? We can only walk in the light that we have. And, you know, sometimes we don't have it when we walk in the light we have. But notice that, make sure it's the light. Make sure. Judge things. Don't go on them because people say. Because people are getting carried away. Let's think of it. The spirit-filled people over in this Bible thing, they're hauling it into churches. They're hauling, got this special oil. And they're giving this special oil out. I don't know, I don't have it checked to find out. It's really good in the car. Maybe it'll make your engine last longer. I don't know. We find out, Mike. Call them, Mike. Check it out for us. This might put M's oil out of business. Then again, maybe we can use it so we don't get sunburned. How about that, man? We can, this stuff will be great. I can just see it now. God's been holding out on us. But see, you get over into those things. You know, it's one of the things, and I pray for, well, number one, I want the manifestations of the gifts that are in the Bible. I want the healings. I want those things. I want those. It's number one, oil appearing. I would rather have Jesus heal some people in the church. You know, send the oil to Africa or someplace. Maybe they'll like it. I don't know. But we don't have to have it here. You know, send us. Give it to the Soviet Union. They need all they can get. But here, I want the manifestations that are in the Bible through the ministry of Jesus Christ. I want to see them in demonstration. I want to see those things. I want them to operate in the church and through the church. That's what I'm after. If there's greater things come along, that's just fine. But first, you know, I'll tell you, if I find of anything the Lord wants to emphasize is the healing ministry of Jesus. Big and emphasized. The church just fights that tooth and nail, you know. My God, people fight to be sick. I mean, my God. Hallelujah. But, you know, and I just, you know, just talking on these lines, the Lord wants me to talk about, you know, some of these other things where things get out of line of people. You know, Kenneth Hagin used the example. He said about back in the healing revivals of the 1950s, during the 50s, he said they had times back there that he said he began to find things and watch things are going out. He said you need to be very careful. He talked about people having oil pouring out of their hands and that kind of stuff. And he said one of the things he said he began to look to see about, now that doesn't mean a person couldn't legitimately have it. Kenneth Hagin said this. He said that he had had a couple times in meetings where he said, like oil appeared on his hands. He said it was like an oily substance. And he said, I never said anything to anybody about it. He said, I had said it to one friend of my his. He said, I made mention of it. But he said, I didn't, because he said, number one, and this you need to understand this about manifestations. You don't want to get it over there and get people like on something like that. He said, the fact that oil manifested, he said, you get, carry those things too far. He said, they lead people away from the truth. And he said, I didn't say anything. He said, the Lord wants me to be laying hands on people. So he said, I laid hands on people. And he said, people got healed and delivered and stuff. But he said, if you start talking about the manifestation becomes, see, this is the manifestation becomes the big thing. And not what it does. The manifestation becomes the thing that's important to people. So now next, everything, everybody start believing for oil to appear in their hands. I can say this truthfully to you. I've had manifestations operate through me and things. I have never once prayed for any kind of, you know, God talk to me, give me a vision, do so. I've never, ever asked for any of that. Never. I pray and I seek God to find out what he wants to do. Lord, I'm going to cooperate. You just show me what you want. I will do it. If things manifest, that's fine. But you don't start, one of the things that is, you need to understand this. God is not the only person in the spirit realm. There's devils and evil spirits, and you go over and start pushing on things about manifestations. Don't be surprised you start having some weird ones and things happening to you that you wish wouldn't have happened to you. You don't go do that. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. See, he had enough experience to see a lot of that stuff go on, and they saw those things happen. And I learned, be cautious. You know, the Lord Jesus told him, I'd rather have you be a little slow to move into things. He said, and stay and not get out ahead of me than go take off. be a little slow. Well, I've learned over the years, I'm a little slow on some things. I am not quick to jump on the bandwagon. And it's caused me problems over the years with other ministers and ministries around them because people just love to jump on the bandwagon right away. People just love, well, did you hear what sounds? Hey, did you hear this? And this guy starts preaching this. Oh, did you hear it? Is it biblical? What's the Bible say? Well, he said, I don't care what he said. What did God say? They have no clue what God said. It's all about what he said. It's what he said. And see, you don't want to do that. You want to get over where you're going to follow in the Spirit. Well, and this oil thing, again, there was a woman, I think she was from Central America. I think she was. Her introduction in the United States here, was by a major minister, spirit-filled guy, Brother Hagin knew and that stuff and got her in here. But anyhow, she would have oil would just pour out of her hands. Now they found out she'd do things. There's one thing you want to understand this about this things. Because here's where the deception and stuff comes in. You can even get this on God's side. I've seen Christians do this where God used them in a certain way. So what they do is every time they go try to minister in that same manner and start doing the same things again, but the anointing's not there to do it. And they get over and they push in. You need to be careful in doing that because you can open up the door to satanic things start to manifest. Whenever you get over in the flesh of things and trying to make things happen. See, it's one thing, I'm not going to do it unless the anointing's there to carry it out. I ain't going to do it. God may move, you know, just like last week, God showed me, you know, people minister. Well, he didn't show me that this week, so we ain't going to try that. We ain't going to do that unless God tells me something. I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to push over there because you get over into that and you start yielding over there and trying to bring those things to pass, trying to make things happen. That's a dangerous thing to do. You don't want to get in there. There's more spirits than God's spirit. And you need, Christians don't understand. You get over and start getting things happening, you don't want happening. And we need to know that. That's why it's being cautious about things, making sure that you know the Spirit of God wants you to do something. He had you do something one time. Does that mean he wants you? You know, just because God operated through you one time and a gift of healing and a person got healed. You don't go around and say, well, I got a gift of healing and I can just go do it. Well, good luck on that one. It operates as the Spirit will. That's how the gifts work. Operate as the Spirit will. They don't operate as I will. Now, I can minister to anybody by faith at any time. Minister the word, bring faith. We can pray by faith. But by gifts of the Spirit, they only as the Spirit wills. It isn't by Ed's will. I can't turn that on and off. Now, I can do this. If I can stay over on the spiritual side more, I can give him more opportunity to use me. But if I don't, then he'll probably have less opportunity to manifest one of those gifts. So you want to stay over on the side where you're spiritual, where he can use you. That's why it's so important. But anyhow, this woman they brought in, back to this, she would have oil pour out of her hands. I mean, literally. Now, she was also doing a thing because what she'd do, see, people wanted to see that and wanted to have it. So what she would actually do is she would put little things of oil up under in her sleeves. And she always wore long sleeves. And she put, so see, when it wasn't manifesting the devil doing it, she would make things happen where oil would show up in her hands. But I'll tell you what, when the devil was doing it, you talk about oil. I was sitting in, I only ever saw one time. Sitting in a meeting. This woman, they were literally bringing towels to her. Rod Parsley was standing up front preaching. And I knew, I was there, I told the story before, but anyhow, I ended up at the meetings because they were holding these meetings and they asked, Ed Dufresne was holding them. There were Ed Dufresne's meetings. He had built a building in Sepulpa, Oklahoma, and he was having these meetings there. And Ed called Raymond and asked if we could help with the parking there because they didn't know how to handle the parking with all these people coming in and all that stuff because this was new. And so, you know, you want to keep things safe and people traveling in and out and running over top of each other. You don't want that. And so they asked, and so Tony Cook, who was the one associate pastor in Rhema, he came to me and asked me if I would take some people down there if we'd do that to help him out. And I said, sure. So we'll go over and help Ed. So we went over to help Ed. Well, anyhow, they had this woman at the meetings and there was a lot of big guns there. Some big names. I mean, top big names of the spirit-filled people there. And they were there, and in this thing, in this meeting, and he had this woman there. And she's sitting down in the front. Rod Parsley's up there preaching. And, you know, Rod Parsley's a preacher. You can tell with him. He preaches. He spits and does all that kind of stuff. And sometimes he tries to teach. He don't do too good. He just preach it, Rod. Just preach it. Just go ahead. Just go with it. You can spit a few rows and all that kind of stuff. And he does. That's what he does. God, that's what he's anointed to do. So, but anyhow, Rod's up there preaching. And I just, now, in his, you got to learn to be sensitive. Now, I'm a Rhema student. And so I come in, Rod's already preaching because I had been out walking around because we had guys out in security to watch the parking lot while the meeting's going on, because you don't want people coming out breaking in cars and stealing stuff and things like that. I know it's hard to figure anybody would steal or do something. But anyhow, so we did, and I was just making sure that security, so I come walking into the meeting, and they had, in the back there, they had a place for us to sit down, save seats, and I came in, and Rod's up there preaching, and I sit down, and I just get sense something's not right here. Rod ain't in the flow that he's. I mean, Rod Parsley, he's like he could preach at a drop of a hat. He could, you know, he's just that way. Well, anyhow, I see this woman sitting. She's down on the front row. I can back where I'm sitting. I look way down in front. She's down there. She's sitting, and the ushers keep walking back and forth from her, giving her towels and taking towels away. And I mean, this is a constant. This is going on. And she's sitting down in front. Now, she didn't have 55-gallon drums up her sleeve. This is definitely a manifestation of some sort. She's got oil pouring out of her hands. It's filling towels, and they're hauling towels away. And she's down there. Well, see, everybody is watching her, and Rod's preaching. And this came up inside of me, something Brother Hagin had said. Brother Hagin used to say this, God don't put the man up front and preaching and have somebody down here doing something that takes the attention away from that. He said, he poses himself. He's not going to do that. And I thought, this woman is sitting down here. Rod can't get the flow. She's sitting down here causing all this ruckus. And I said, this thing ain't right. Whatever's going on with that lady, it ain't right. It is a distraction to the move of the Spirit. It's a distraction. Well, I sat there till Rod was done preaching. And then a big name minister got up. Everybody know if I said his name. Walked right up and said, God said she's supposed to lay hands on all of us. And I said, the guy was beside me. I said, she ain't touching this boy. Goodbye. I went outside. All those big, and there's other numbers of big name ministers. They all had their hand, her lay hands on him. You don't have to be some big name minister to know God and know his move. We rely too much of not listening to God and just paying attention. We don't have our own Christian life and our own fellowship with God. We have it by proxy through others. You can't do that. You have to know. You have to know if I'm not preaching the word right. You have to know that. You got to know that. You know, it's one thing. It's always got me upset over the things that people got upset at. You know, Jim Baker with PTL. And he used to say, people, if you had listened to God, you wouldn't have had to wait till everything fell apart to find out it wasn't going right. You would have known, but you didn't listen. We loved what we saw. We loved what we had going. I knew I was just a baby Christian back then, and I knew things ain't right here. This ain't right. Some of this stuff, it ain't right. And all these older Christians, they got all mad. Well, we put money into there, and we were supposed to be able to stay down there in hotels. Well, you put your money just to get a place to vacation? Dear Lord, that's why you were doing it? Get saved, you heathen. You should have known that some guy can't sell a million hotel rooms, you know, for people to stay in when you only got maybe 3,000 or 4,000. You sell a million. Somebody ain't going to be staying somewhere. Come on. But the flesh, people follow their flesh and love their flesh and think they're going to get something from their flesh. So they follow it. It soothes the flesh. I've told people that they come in and said me marks about Jim Baker, and I just told them flat out. I said, Jim Baker wasn't your problem, you were. I said, you still don't listen to the Holy Ghost because you're still complaining about Jim Baker. I said, he's gone and you're still griping. I said, he went on and you didn't. he repented, God forgave him, you might as well get over it. Just, it's not following. But there's big name ministers. Well, that didn't end there with her. They went and took her up to the Mabee Center. And they hauled her in the Mabee Center and got more big name ministers to come in. And I'll never forget this, because you know, after that thing happened, I went back to Rhema. See, because there was some Rhema some of our instructors were involved in that, in following this stuff going on. And I went back and I said, this stuff ain't right. I said, that thing with that lady is wrong. Boy, did I ever get, who are you? So-and-so said it's all right. So-and-so said this. This person said, you name the big guns. They said, see. You don't know what you're talking about. Now you think it's bad. Brother Hagin had us all in one class and tried to tell people. They got mad at him. Because all their big name favorites were saying was God. So what they did is they filmed her at the Mabee Center. And what they began to do is they went back and they started. She had this thing and every once in a while feathers would show up in the air. I like what one minister said. Oh my God, they shot the Holy Ghost. I thought that was a good one. That was good. What they found is she was using sleight of hand. What they did is they took frame by frame and they went back over and took this thing and other videos and they went through them. Charles Capps was one of them. And they went through these things to prove that this stuff, this woman was doing sleight of hand and doing things and about her going in. The most interesting in the world, once they brought it out in the open, I never heard one thing out of any of those big name ministers about it. Never one of them ever stopped and said, you know what, we fought along. We did. Never one of them. Never one of them stopped and said, hey, we blew it. No, they just go on like nothing happened. And people just, because they're a big name, just go and follow it. People don't stop and listen for themselves. And the next thing that they come along and they do, people will follow along with it again. See, there's a great responsibility. The more people that you influence, the greater responsibility, the greater judgment will be on you. Greater judgment. That's why you make sure you're right. And if you miss it, just say, hey, I missed it. You know, just join the club with the rest of it. You missed it. But get it right. But it's important because, see, these demonstrations, these manifestations are going, people, we're going to see more and more. You never have the real that the other stuff don't start kicking up more, that you'll start to see more of these things will start happening. The devil will come along. He comes in because, see, people want spectacular. See, I saw this back when I came into the kingdom. You know, people got into flaky. They got into, once they got over and started seeing things and stuff started happening, people started to try to make things happen. And you need to watch. That seems to be within the human nature. Don't follow the human nature. Follow the nature of God in you. Follow that. It'll do you good. Because it seems like, you know, you want to, you know, you need to understand this. The more God uses you in the area, the more people want you to be used in that area. And they want something. And if you don't watch it, you try to please the people. So you start doing things because they want it, whether God's moving in it or not. They want it. You know, like the prophecy, you know, prophets. Everybody wants prophecy over them. Prophets prophesy, but that's not their main ministry, is to prophesy. That's not the prophet's ministry, number one, is a teacher or preacher or both. He might operate on both of those, a teacher or preacher. That's the number one ministry of the prophet. It's not prophesying. The prophet don't turn off and on the gift of prophecy. You don't turn that on and off. If the unction is there, it is fine to go with the unction. But if it's not there, then you don't go with it. You stay away from it. And see, this is where we need to be very, very, very careful in these areas. We want the real, but you're not going to get the real if you just get over. That's why, you know, get over just pushing on things and stuff. We get over into the Word. We hook up over in the Spirit with the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Spending time with God. Letting God reveal stuff to us. You know? And that's what we want. You know, it's just like this one. I knew teaching today. I could just tell yesterday I would sit down and read over my notes, that are things that I have in notes. But you want to study. I mean, I study and I read over things and I'm reading over. And you know, there's things. But I just know when I was going to get up here, we're not going to be talking about that specifically. I knew that. Well, I didn't know what. But see, then you got to walk by faith. Well, see, you know, you just didn't do it. So, you know, this morning I'm walking back and forth. And the Lord told me this morning, I was standing back there at the time, said to me about talking about demonstrations of the Spirit that are not of Him, that they're not of God. Why? Because we're not magnifying the devil. We want to see His works. He's a deceiver. I don't want to see the displays. I want to see things that change people's lives. I want something that delivers people and sets them free. I don't want, you know, a 55-gallon barrel of oil is no good if you can't use it for something, you know. And if that's all we got, as a minister, I'd much rather have manifestations of the Holy Ghost and people healed than have oil. I mean, give me a choice. Which one do you want? I mean, Jesus wasn't going around carrying barrels of oil with Him. And the healing ministry went pretty well. You know, he did pretty good. He wasn't bad for, you know, that Jewish guy walking around bare feet and especially holding that lamb and doing it. I just don't know how he did that. But see, we get in our minds that, you know, God wants us to move over in the areas of the Spirit to get the real. He wants us to have the real. People need set free. Look, if you want to watch wild stuff, go to the movies. They got so much wild things going on. Today they can, man, do these graphic stuff and they can make anything in the world look real. You can have all that you want to see something. We come to church. I'd like to see something real. And don't show me something fake. Don't entertain me. I don't want entertained. I'm up to here with entertainment. That's all we have, an entertainment society. Entertainment. I want the real. I don't want to be entertained, you know. Make me feel good. You know, it's like the person who has pain, they give them a shot and they feel good for a while. But the shot goes away. And then they're feeling bad again. Let's have the healing. Let's get rid of the pain forever. You know, everybody today just wants to, I want to feel good. Show me something that makes me feel good right now. Oh, you know, tell me that oil in that bucket's going to heal me. You dunk your head in that bucket, it ain't going to get healed. Hallelujah. You still need to have faith in God. That never changes. God didn't send the oil, the devil did. See, we need to get over in these things to understand this stuff. Of what's real. What's God doing? See, I look at the ministry of Jesus. I see the things He did. And I pray. I say, God, that's what I want to see happen. I want to see the ministry of Jesus in the earth. I want to see what He did happen in the earth. What a blessing it is. You know, you go back over and look at the healing revivals of the 1950s. What a blessing that was. All the people that God healed. Think about John G. Lake. John G. Lake had his prayer rooms up in Spokane, Washington, the city of Spokane. They have recorded, I mean, this is recorded stuff, of 100,000 people who were healed, who the majority were given up by doctors that they said they couldn't do anything. 100,000. When the healing rooms were operating, when John G. Lake had that going up there, that Washington, D.C., the Congress said that Spokane, Washington was the most healthy city in America. Why? There's a move of God up there. People getting healed. Loads of people take terminal cancer. They go there to the healing room, up there to the healing rooms. They'd go up there. And what they do? Now they did something absolutely phenomenal that you would never see done in any church today. You'd never see done anywhere. People had to give up all their medicine and they had to give up their doctor. Today, <yeah. laughs> That's what they did. You had to do that. And what they would do is they would take you and they'd pray for you and they would just pray, minister to you and pray for you. You got healed. Whatever you don't want. Oh, we're going to do that today. Dear Lord, most Christians, you just took their headache pain medication away from them. They'd have to commit suicide. You know, they can't, no, I can't stop nothing. But you know, it's just like today. Now they say, well, I know Brother Hagin talked about some of these things. He said, you know, these guys believed in those areas. He said, God, you know, and the Lord told him, he said, if a person goes to a doctor, he wants to help. But we understand this. These people walked in a level of faith we don't have today in the church. It's not in the church. It's not here. I don't know any ministers that have it. Would you take people aside and say, you got to give up? Did you take a cancer patient? Give up all your medication. We're going to take you out here. We're going to pray and minister to you till we get this thing fixed. How many of them are doing it? Oh, we think we've just arrived and we're just so spiritual and our faith teachers, they're just really up on the top. No, they're not. And you have to identify that in yourself. I have to identify that in me, that I got a place to climb to, that I'm not. And we ain't going to go there playing this stupid stuff we're playing. We ain't going there. I got to say, Lord, dear John, you lay new stuff Ed Gibson never knew. But you know what? If he can go there, I can go there. I can go to that place where we can cause miracles to happen because we know how to get over into the realm of the Spirit. That's where they happen. Miracles manifest in the natural, but they don't take place in the natural. They manifest in the natural. They take place in the Spirit. When it's gotten in the realm of the Spirit, it manifests. If what you need hasn't manifest, it's because it ain't been done in the Spirit realm yet. You haven't got a hold of it over there. Faith is of the heart. It's the inner man. It's in the Spirit realm. That's where it takes place. When I turn around and believe I receive it, I come to the place I believe I got it. When I believe I got it, the search is over. I have it now. It's mine. If you're still searching, it ain't coming. It ain't coming till you get it. It ain't coming till you get it. It ain't coming till you believe you receive it. I believe, see, I can't see it. I don't care if I can't see it. I will see it. My eyes will see it. Hallelujah. I will see it. Because I believe I've received it. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'll do that. Another thing the Holy Ghost wants me to say is this concerning that you need these manifestations of the Spirit. Because the one thing, when Kenneth Hagin, I talked about this before, he talked about in the areas of, where, especially in the areas of healing. When he made the statement and said, you know, he said, you ministers need to know that you're not going to get most of your people healed. And what he was talking about, the fact of most of the people, you're not going to personally, your faith is going to be used and they don't have faith. And you're going to get them healed. That ain't going to happen. See, many people are looking to get healed through the minister. And that's mostly not going to happen. So you can't sit and be taught about faith and those kind of things. Now, I don't know why this is. And Kenneth Hagin said he could never figure out. He said, I don't understand. He said, you can get groups of people and sit them and teach them faith. And he said, some people grab a hold of it right away. And he said, some people never get it. He said, it seems you teach and they just never grab a hold of it. He said, I don't know why. But some people just don't ever seem to grasp it. They just don't ever seem to get a hold of it. You know what you can do for them? Pray for them as best you can, but there ain't a lot you can do for them. I'm sure there's reasons, but you need to understand this. Most people that have a reason that it's not working for them never take time to find out the reason. They just keep going from place to place trying to get healed. They keep trying to do it. They just keep going over. I'm confessing the word. It hasn't worked for 5-10 years. I'm still confessing. What is holding? Why isn't it working? And this is where getting over in the Spirit. This is where really sometimes there's things that I found out that I needed to change. I got a word of knowledge about me. You need to understand, God knows what's going on in you better than you do. You know, Mike read the scripture this morning. He says, the spirit of man knows the things of the spirit of man. I'm amazed how many people don't even know at all what's going on in their spirit. They don't know what's going on there. People come along and say, I don't know if I'm in faith or not. They don't know. They say, what they're telling me is I'm not in contact with my inner man. I don't know if I'm really believing in the inner man or not. I don't know. That means you're not in contact. If you don't know, then you haven't gotten contact with them. I know whether I'm believing or not. I know. I've known that since 1980. I know whether I'm believing or not. But you know, sometimes there's things in blockage. Sometimes there's things. You know, sometimes things that people do keep them from any. You need to, you know, you need to get over and say, God, show me what's going on. Show me what's happening. See, there's a cause. Curse don't come without a cause. Sickness is always a curse. It's never a blessing. Always a curse. Never a blessing. Never. Sickness is never a blessing. Go read the curse of the law. Read it. The curse of the law. How many verses from Deuteronomy 28 are dedicated to the curse of the law? But I like, and in verse 61 said this, whatever isn't even mentioned here in this book of the law, any disease or anything, they're all in there. Listen, in other words, if you got something they didn't list in there, it's a curse. You got any kind of disease, you got any kind of thing, it's called a curse. It's never called a blessing, only if you go to certain churches. Then it's a blessing. Then God does it to teach you things. Then it's the blessing of the law. God's trying to humble you. God doesn't. You know how God humbles Ed? Through the Word. He shows me, by showing me the Word, what a knucklehead I am sometimes. He'll say, do you see in my scripture? You know what this said. And I think, oh my word, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. He don't say, you know, Ed, I'm going to make you sick. You'll really learn. If I got a problem, getting sick don't solve the problem. I got to find out what the problem is. If God's trying to humble me by making me sick, I have to find out where my area of pride is to straighten it out. So in other words, sickness don't straighten it out. So you need to find out. And this is one thing, as God's to speak to us, showing us things. This is why it's important of these things as manifestations of the Spirit, where we pick things up concerning our own life and ourselves. It's one thing as I love about the Holy Ghost. He knows me better than me. And I can count on Him if I go over and say, Holy Ghost, what about me? What do I need to do? As times and time again, I've come along to the thing. You know, the things that I, Lord, I know I have this problem. Sometimes we don't even designate, we don't even know what, we look at the manifestation of our problem that's happening on the outside and we think that's our problem. And that ain't our problem. It's not my problem. But see, what's the core of the thing that's happening? What's happening? It's like I told you when the Lord said to me, you're like a doctor, and it was under one of those circumstances, He said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. See, I kept treating the symptoms. I had spent over a year praying about my symptoms. They weren't something, wasn't sickness or anything. But I'm praying about this problem I got, and I'm dealing with this thing. And He says to me, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. You see the symptom, but that ain't what the problem is. See, I wasted a year. Some of you wasted a lot more than that. Anyhow, so, and I started to find out, okay, Lord, where am I missing it? I have yet to have Him asking me where I'm missing it that I don't find out. Where I'm missing it. But you know what? It might hurt your little pride to find out. You might have to admit you're doing, you've blown it. You may have to admit you ain't been in faith for the last year about that thing at all. But that's, I'm going to tell you what, I know people, they'd rather go through the misery of the problem rather than admit it. Oh, yes. Instead of admitting you're wrong. They're not going to do it. People will do that. People go along, never get things fixed. They have a problem in their life, never get it fixed. Keep walking around to people saying they're in faith and all this. They know full well they're not. They know they're not working. They know it's not working. They know it. They know it ain't working. I guess I'm the only one that has made confessions that I wouldn't believe in. Maybe the rest of you, you're just a spiritual. I don't know. You people are something else. I mean, like, God, you guys ought to be teaching me. I'll tell you. You've been there already, haven't you? Made your confession. And I say, I think it's going to happen. Lord, forgive me. What a stupid knucklehead. Okay, let's get back, get this thing straightened out. Let's get this thing working. I'm going to get over here. Don't you? Hallelujah. You know, it's one of the things I found out about Him. He is so forgiving. When you turn around and just, you know, Lord, I've been a knucklehead. He'll, you know, and admit it. He'll talk to you like you've been just walking in the Spirit all the time. He has a wonderful ability to forget. My God, I want that. What if you could instantly forget everything that was done to you or anything that ever happened? Or even your own mistakes you made in the past, that instantly you could forget it and start just walking in the light right now that you got, that you have. Where that thing don't get drug along. I know none of you never drug a dead body along with you, did you? You never did that. You never had a rope around just this neck of this body and just pulling it with you. Believe in God. I just... Something in the past that keeps you tripping up toward the future. Just, you ever been there? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're just living as, you're just human like the rest of us. We do. Is number one is learning to forget, laying things down, laying down the past, laying that past down. Say, hey, don't matter. Don't matter. Don't matter the mistakes I made then. I may have blown things and done things, but there's water over the dam. That's not change. We're not changing that. My future, I can't let my future be based on that. Can't allow my future to be based on that thing that happened. Or where I messed up. I can't do it. Now, people will try to hold you to that, but you don't have to. Anything makes a lot of Christians mad is when somebody does something real bad and they repent and then God starts blessing them and they don't get blessed, they get mad. They'll say, well, I don't understand why God did that for them. They did this and they did that and they did that. And those knuckleheads stay the same way they are forever. Somebody repented. Well, Lord of God, get back on and get at work. Lord of God, get blessed. Hallelujah. To me, that's incredible. When I see somebody stumble up big time and then God just blesses them, say, dear Lord, I repent and get blessed too. Dear God, hallelujah, this thing works. Instead of looking and saying, well, you know, they did this. How come? Yeah, that. I don't know if that stuff's real or not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I quit meddling for a while. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, did you learn anything? Hallelujah. I did a few things. Hallelujah. We want to stay on course, though, and I just want to encourage you is for yourselves to get into the Word of God. Spend time learning to be led by the Spirit of God. Learn to do that. The success of your life. There's one thing that I really enjoy more than anything as I've gotten along with the Lord over the years is I'm less moved today by things that, boy, used to just really throw me when they would happen years ago when things had gone, and I'm less moved by them. I'm less moved by what happens in the natural. I see things happen where I can turn today and say, praise God, God's going to turn that around for me. That's going to get turned around. Now, years ago, I'd fight terrible battles till I got to that place. I'd say, God's going to turn it around. As you arrive at that point, and you want to come to that place. You don't want to stay in. Is people today, one of the biggest problems is too many people are yielded to the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age, this demonic spirit, is a sensitivity spirit. Everybody's so touchy and sensitive, and every little thing throws people on what somebody does. You can't have that and walk in the place of faith. What other people do, you just can't, you know. You just got to walk by and say, pray, I'm going to follow. I'm following God. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow the Lord. It's getting over there and losing. I don't want this sensitivity to things in the natural. Because what happens, sometimes even things people do, sometimes people just don't know no better. They just, you know, they ain't trying to be mean or ugly. They're just stupid. There's a lot of Christians that are just stupid. They are. Now, you may face it. They just don't use any good sense in that stuff. But, you know, we can't kill them. I know sometimes you'd like to, but you can't kill them. We can't send everybody home to be with Jesus. They get awful lonely. we got to walk. When we come over this place where we're not so sensitive, or we stay over in the areas, you know, we're going to believe God. I am totally convinced there's a great need for me to walk with God for the benefit of others. I must. I feel a great demand upon my life to be a blessing to others. A great demand. It's like, this is not about it. This is the body of Christ. And there's a lot lost today. You know, John said, if you don't love your brother, you don't have eternal life in you. That's why I'm convinced that a lot of Christianity called Christianity ain't Christian. They could care less about the body. They could care less about being with their brothers and sisters in the Lord. They don't go to church, don't like, and sit, turn around and use the term Christian and stuff. I'm sorry. John said they don't have no eternal life in them. They have no love for the body. The only thing they have is love is for themselves. That's not Christ. I'm concerned of what happens to the body. Right now, my number one concern is not what's happening to the world. My concern is the body. It's the body. This is Jesus' body. Number one concern is the body. See, people have lost that today. They don't see the importance. Jesus sure does. His number one thing right now is turning the body around. Why? Because there's not going to be a harvest. You get the body turned around. And number one, most people, if you're self-centered, you don't really care about the harvest either. That doesn't matter. And so it's this thing within me, you know, it's about the body. I want to see Christians following God. I want to see people on fire for God. I want to see people anointed by the Holy Ghost. Demonstrations, manifestations of the Holy Ghost operating through people. Hallelujah. I don't want it through some preachers. I want it through the body of Christ. Hallelujah. My God, when I go back and look at when I came into the kingdom in the early 80s, loads of people had demonstrations, manifestations of the Holy Ghost through them. It wasn't something that just happened with the preachers. It was pretty well normal among people that had demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. And lots of the people today that even came through that have nothing through them. They became religious, you know, became comfortable. You know, I've arrived, I have a pretty good life now, things are pretty good, and this is going on, that's going on. But we left the things of the Spirit. I'm not shooting anybody else in the foot over that. Man, there's things I had to get back to. I had to get back over into. I had to get back over first talking to God about Him, saying, Lord, I walked in places I'm not walking. I want to walk in those places. Now, I only know one way to get back over there, and I had to quit doing natural things and go back over there to start pushing into spiritual things, start moving into those things to get back into those things. But I'll tell you what, it's back. It's back. Hallelujah. It's back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm back. Glory to God. It's open to all. The spirit realm is open to all, for I'm calling all my people forward. I'm calling all of my people into it, for I've opened a door at this day and this time. And I say, come on through. Come on, walk into this place. This is a place that you've dreamed about and you've thought about in the past and men have spoken of. Yes, and men are still saying today, it's out there, it's out there. And I say, no, 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 it's here, it's here. Come, walk through. Come, walk through. Yes, and step into the glory that I prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Step in it, because the day and time is short and there's not time to stand outside and look in and just listen to others talk about it. No, it's a day and time that you would come in and walk into that place where I will anoint you and send you forth, and the glory of God will be upon you, and men will see Jesus Christ is alive through you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mangodishka bata. Step forward. Step forward. As an act of faith, step forward. Say, Lord, I'm walking for you today. I'm stepping into you today. I'm walking into you today. Lord God, I'm after you. I want you, and I will meet you face to face, says the Lord. For I have not stood off from you, but my people have stood off from me, and I long to be face to face with you. I long that you and I breathe upon one another and stand close to one another, for I have wonderful things that I have planned and things that I want to reveal to you so you can know me and walk with me. And I'm calling you to this day and hour, and I'm calling you forth. So come forth and step forward into it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Prishka Momonia. Is there anybody you got pain today? You're having problems with pain? Here right now, you're having trouble with pain? Anybody? Anyone at all? Come on down, Mike. I just got a sense that somebody's dealing with pain. And so I just want to follow that. Say, what are you going to do? I don't know. It's pain and God heal. That's all I know. But I just got that sense in me concerning pain. Hallelujah. Is anybody else? Anybody else? You know, it might. You do? Oh, well, we're going to deal. We get two. We get a bargain. We got two for one.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, here we go. See, there's more people. Now, I didn't say if you're a pain, come on down. Some people do that, you know. No, you're going to be fine, aren't you? Hallelujah. You come right over here. He hasn't bitten anybody in a long time. Well, we'll watch. We have to muzzle him. We will. You got your shots, don't you? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We end up with three. See? Glory to God. Hallelujah. He gets to do it three times. Hallelujah. See, I'm not the healer. And I am not the healer. I've never been a healer. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ is a healer. He just uses people. He uses people. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you so much. Lord God, your love for your children. And I just want to thank you for your love to help your children. Lord God, you just don't have a compassion. You don't just feel sorry for them. Lord God, you want them well. You want them whole and you want them sound. And Lord God, they should be. Because Lord God, they have been redeemed from the curse of the law. They have been redeemed from every sickness and every ill and every pain and everything. You have redeemed them, Lord God, because, Lord, it tells us in Galatians, Lord God, hallelujah, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, today we're going to have the manifestation of the redemption from the curse. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to have. And so I thank you, Lord God, for your healing and your delivering power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Your healing power working in this body. Hallelujah. Bringing about a cure. Hallelujah. I thank you. This body is responding. Hallelujah. To the power of God. And it's working in her. Hallelujah. Making her whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, right now. Healing power. Healing power. Right now in the name of Jesus. Working. 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 It's working. The top of your head to the soles of your feet. It's a working. Working in you. Hallelujah. Driving out sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. And pain is going in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Well, stay here a second. You ones here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. The Holy Ghost wants to do something now. Hallelujah. See, I ministered to you, but see, it's one thing is we want to release our faith. Hallelujah. We want to release our faith. Hallelujah. See, just say this after me. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law.
Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law.
It'd be good you all say it too, because it'd be good for you. So say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law.
He's redeemed me from
every sickness, every disease, every bit of poverty, every ugly thing that could come against me by saving me through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ redeemed me from the curse. Therefore, I am not under the curse. I am under the blessing. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my body. I'm blessed in my bank account. I'm blessed in every way that I could be blessed. In Jesus' name. I'm healed. I'm not under a curse. I'm under a blessing. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, the thing is to do is talk good things. Say those things. Especially I've learned over the years, I say things out loud so I hear them. I say them so I hear them. Yes. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you know, because this is what happens. You go and what, you know, when we're here, there's a spirit of faith operating here. You know, people believe God. But you walk out the door, and I want to, you can go to the restaurant and you might have to fight at the restaurant because you don't know what spirit you're running into there. But anyhow, but you get around, see, and it's, and you get out and all of a sudden other thoughts come to you thinking you get problems. You need, one of the things you need to learn is be your own encourager. I've always said this, you need to be your own best cheerleader. That's what you got to learn to do. And so you say the right thing, say, you know, like, you know, hands were laid on me. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. This pain or this problem, this don't belong to me. This is not mine. I will not have it, nor will I tolerate it. Because if I tolerate it, I'm telling Jesus, you did this for, you took the curse of the law on me for nothing. Say, Jesus, you didn't take it over me on, You took it for me for good, glory to God, and I'm receiving it. See, talk to yourself. Get yourself fired up where you don't put up with it. Now, you might not write in public be able to say that. They might come and take you out to Phil Haven. But anyhow, you know, when you get a chance, there's many times that I've sat in places and just talked under my own breath there, just saying things. You know, you need to. Hallelujah. But when I get a chance to just open my voice and stuff, and I do at home, I open my mouth and I just declare things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the way it's going to be. This is the way it is. And I have to do that. You cheer yourself on, keeping yourself over there. I do that kind of stuff when I'm feeling well. See, most people never think about healing until they get sick, and it's usually then it's too late. It takes you a long time to get up, caught up on it and that stuff. No, that's just, every time I pray over my food, God blesses my bread and water and takes sickness away from me. Hallelujah. Every time I pray over my food, glory to God. He blesses my bread and water. He takes sickness away from the midst of me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every time I pray over food, I get a smile. Hallelujah. I do. I get a smile. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, we're redeemed from the curse. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we want to know if there's anything else that you want, that you desire to do. If you want to, we want to let you do what you want. Hallelujah. Lord, we have ideas. But we want your ideas. And I thank you. I thank you. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know. Sherry, come up here. I don't know what. I just get a sense of, but I don't know what it is. But I just keep getting a sense. I guess God wants to do something. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A desire for change. A desire for change. Yes. And it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming in. Yes. Yes. The change you desire. The change you desire. The change you want. You'll have it. You'll have it. It's yours. You'll step into that place that you have asked me for. Hallelujah. 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 Now, folks, see, let me, because the Lord wants me to do some teaching in doing these things, because I'd ask him about, we just don't want, we learn from gifts of the Spirit, not we can learn from them. Now, just so you understand, I didn't get some kind of big word from the Holy Ghost. When I said I wanted the Lord, if you want to do anything else, I just got a sense about Sherry standing there, and I just got, I don't know, I can't tell you. There wasn't any kind of big urge, but I just got a sense about it. Well, this is one thing I've learned over time. I can follow that. Now, I realized that I probably, because this is what happens a lot of times through me, and I found it happens many times to other ministers. When I touch a person, I know things then. When the anointing's on me, I mean, I don't generally, you don't walk around and just know everything about everybody you touch all the time. But when the anointing's moving, I touch a person, I can just tell things. And I just knew, I'll have her come up and I'll find out if God's moving in that direction. Because when I lay my hand on her, I'll know something. And so it came. And see, you need to understand, most people want to know all about what's going to happen and then they're going to do it. It doesn't come that way. It's just like with that. It came just that sense, just sense inside me, just, you know, Sherry. And I thought, well, let's do it. You got to lose the fear of missing it. Because you will. Sometimes, you know what? If she had stood there and I laid my hands on her and nothing, I would have, that wasn't nothing. That just wasn't there. I'd say, praise God. Well, Lord, what do I do with it? But, you know, I've learned to follow that. Now, over time, I've learned when that thing comes, I probably got this thing. But you have to learn that over time. And you do. We get sensitive. We pick things up. But lots of times we walk by them because we want more of something. But you know what? If God always gave you more, you'd never walk by faith. See, you do it by faith. See, you walk as far as the step he shows you. See, learn to do that. You'll be amazed how many times, you'll be flabbergasted how many times God will use you, and you'll be shocked and say, oh, the times I let it go by, and here he was trying to, that's what I was. I was shocked at how many times. See, people talk about God using him, and they talk about, like, you know, I learned about God. He's wanting to use me a whole lot more than I've been used. He ain't holding back. See, people say they're waiting on God. That ain't happening. God's been waiting on us to step in. And it's following us. That's why it's all the blessed Holy Spirit you have inside of you. You got the Spirit of God inside of you. Oh my God. God's living in you. God. Woo! My Lord. God's inside of you. Hallelujah. And he must be really nice because he's put up with me all these years. So he must be pretty nice. Hallelujah. He's just waiting, though, to use you. And we just want to follow that. We just want to follow that. Hallelujah. 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 It's just like when I said about the pain. I didn't get a voice say to me about pain in anybody. I didn't have a voice speak to me. I just got inside of me, somebody has pain. I just pain. That's all I can, pain. And I thought at first, am I pain? Am I pain? No. Said, or some would say, yes, he is. But I just... But anyhow, so you know, just follow that. See, and then you just follow it. And then when they come up here and I lay hands on them, the anointing comes. But see, the anointing didn't come till after then the anointing came. That's the way it works. See, I just want to encourage you. But don't be afraid to miss it. Don't be afraid that you'd miss it. You'd be surprised how many times you'll hit it. Hallelujah. How many times you'll hit it. It'll just be amazing to you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for instructing us in those things. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for helping the people, Lord God. I thank you for raising them up, hallelujah, to a higher place of ministry, Lord God, to a greater place of glory. I just appreciate it, Lord God. Lord, I believe they did step through the door today. Hallelujah. I believe they stepped in. They stepped in. And Lord God, I want to thank you for it. Thank you. Be it so kind to leading us into this. Hallelujah. Because surely you've been leading us into it, and we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.